Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, celebrity interviews, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Now celebrating 17 years of broadcasting success, here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again, both for our radio audience and those tuning in online. We're glad you all could be with us as well. I'm excited to welcome bestselling author Brad Parks to our program today. Brad is celebrating a brand-new book, already a bestseller on Amazon, called Interference. We'll talk to Brad about the new book, but also what it's been like for him to do what he loves as a storyteller, to be able to share his own love, I think, of adventure and science in this new book. And, of course, you guys know how to stay connected with Brad as he is navigating the world, as all of us are these days, especially when it comes to social media. If you guys don't have your own copy of Interference, of course, we'll let you know the best place to be able to get it for yourself. But Brad, thank you so much for the time. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, Cyrus, great to be here, and thanks for that introduction.
Oh, look, the pleasure is definitely all mine. A lot of fun with this book, and we'll get into Interference for sure. But as I mentioned, the book already a bestseller. I mean, really interesting story, I think, Brad, and we'll talk about the writing of it a bit. But what has this experience been like for you to be able to do what you love as a storyteller, as a writer, and to be able to share that experience with all of us?
You know, it's been a long journey, Cyrus, and I think long ago I first fell in love with the writing itself. You'll probably hear this a lot if you talk to writers. I sort of always was a writer. You know, I wrote my first novel when I was 7. I had started writing for my local weekly paper when I was 14. Just writing was always a part of my life, and I think I first fell in love with writing, and then I fell in love with stories, right? And whether I have found over the years whether those stories were the real stories I was writing about in the newspaper or the stories that were happening in my head, I just loved being able to share them with people, and I loved the emotions and the feelings that they resulted in readers, and I think that's always been why I've written, to provoke emotions in people. And that's why I continue to write today. So, it's been an incredible journey, and I feel like I'm kind of perpetually in the middle of it. So, the storyteller, Cyrus, wants to be able to tell you beginning, middle, and end, and I actually don't know how this story ends. So I just try to, write it every single day and see where it goes.
Wow. And I think that is so relatable for a lot of people, Brad. And I think it's interesting with a book like Interference in particular that – I think the creativity definitely comes through, but I think also the freedom. So I want to talk to you about trusting your own voice, because I think for a lot of our audience out there, especially those in the creative community, they kind of find themselves in a catch-22 where they're told, of course, to be themselves, but also, if you want to be successful like X, Y, or Z, this is what you have to do. How did you get to a place in, Brad, for yourself that you trusted your own story, trusted your own voice?
Right. So voice is, I think, so important, Cyrus, and you've hit on it. And, here's what voice is to me, because there's a lot of debate within the creative community, like, what is voice? How do you find your voice and whatnot? And here's the good news. Everyone has one, right? And I think if you ask any editor, if you ask any agent, if you ask anybody on the kind of the business side of this whole thing, what are you looking for? They will say, I am looking for a unique voice. So how do you get that voice? Well, I believe that writing, which is, the mode of storytelling I choose, is really a fairly simple thing. It is, you have these thoughts in your brain and you need to get them down on the page. But when you start out, there is this thick filter between your brain and the page. And part of the filter is all those voices you just mentioned. The, I should write like this guy, or I should try to be like that woman, or I should try to do this to please the marketplace, or that to please the marketplace, whatever. And, all of that stuff creates this thick morass you kind of have to, get through to get to the page. Well, but then this thing happens, right? You start writing, and then you keep writing, and you keep writing, and it takes years. I mean, this is not a simple process, but, over the course of, call it 10 years or a million words or whatever threshold we're looking for, that filter starts to thin out and thin out and thin out, and eventually it really is just your thoughts going directly onto the page without anything getting in the way. And, you really just have to – it is this, like, the it's this metaphorical trust fall you have to make every day that, you know what, I'm telling the right story, I'm telling it in the right way, and I'm telling a story that people will want to hear. And I think just the more you do it and the more you believe in yourself, that filter disappears, you find your unique voice, and then you have to trust that that people are going to want to hear that. That was a long, rambling answer, but it's such an important subject to me, Cyrus, and you've hit on it so precisely that I hope my words make some sense.
They definitely do, and I didn't think it was rambling at all. I think it's definitely something that people can relate to, and I think that's why, you know, people not only, of course, enjoy your work as a writer, as we were talking about, Brad, but also you have the experience to back it up. So, I mean, anyone who has the experience and been able to do what so many people want to do, I think people definitely want to listen to. So I want to talk about the what-if scenario and if that kind of came to you with Interference, because I think as you know, the book kind of begins, it's very obvious that we're being able to get a certain perspective of the book, of course, you know, being written, you know, in the first-person voice and perspective, but it's not the person who we might think that we might be hearing from, you know, in the beginning. So, I mean, how did you decide? What was the what-if for you that made you kind of say, this is the story I want to tell with this book?
Right. So this does delve into some physics, right? And I hope everybody's, you know, buckle your chin straps. We're going to talk physics for a second. There is a theory in physics that is called quantum entanglement, right? And it is this notion that every now and then two particles can be born entangled. And when that happens, they are never again truly apart. You can separate them by any distance. And if you tickle one, the other immediately feels it. And we don't know quite how this works, but we know that it works. We have proven it experimentally that this thing exists. So the fun part that I got to do as a storyteller is, okay, so if this is true for particles, could it be true for human beings? Could you have two human beings whose brains are entangled? And when we think about, you know, people will talk about twin sense, or they'll talk about, you know, that they just had a feeling that something bad or good had happened to a friend or their spouse or whatever. Like, don't we all kind of have that intrinsic connection to someone, possibly? So I'm exploring this in fiction, and what drives the plot of Interference is a woman's husband has been kidnapped. He is a physics professor who has been actually prodding at the mysteries of the quantum universe. And when he goes missing, Bridget Bronick, his wife, tries to find him using entanglement and using the notion that people's brains might be able to be connected. So that's the great what if right. That drives the book forward.
And I think it's an interesting what-if, because I think a lot of people, whether they admit it or not, Brad, and I'm sure you've experienced this and even already in conversations about what the book was about, is they feel that they have this connection, right, this unexplainable connection. And I guess one of the great things that comes through with Interference was, is this something that doesn't make us weird, but makes us, you know, more connected. And I think it's interesting we're having this conversation about being connected, because your recent blog post, I want to go to that, because I saw it on, as I was prepping for this morning, I saw it on your Amazon author profile, you know, what one of the things that you hate about this year, and it's the lack of connection that you're not experienced. I mean, you're one of those who likes to be out there with the people. So I want to talk about your own connection. I mean, Brad, what has that been like for you to kind of think about, especially in relation to 2020 and how different things are for you as an author this year?
Yeah, I got to be honest, until I wrote that blog post, I think I didn't realize how much I missed what I was about to do, because I am, you know, I'm a book a year author. You know, this is my 10th novel. I've been publishing for 11 years. So yeah, I average about a book a year, and it's become this rhythm, right? This, like, I publish a book and then I go out on the road and I talk about it and I meet with people. And I think I started I'd sort of taken it for granted. Didn't we all take all those connections we were able to have for granted? And don't we realize that now? And I think what I was realizing is, you know, look, I don't write for myself, Cyrus, and I take nothing away from people who do. I think that is a very valid pathway through the creative process. But I really write for other people. I write to create that reaction in them, right? And the way I started to understand of am I succeeding or am I not was really being able to be out there in the world and to talk to people about my book and to hear, you know, especially if some people had read it, you know, by the time they get to my event, and to hear their thoughts and to get them sharing it. And I realized, like, what a vital part of my process that actually is to, you know, to be able to get that feedback, because it's always this difficult thing as a writer. You know, you sit down and you're kind of by yourself for a very long time and writing this novel, and, you know, will this thing have an impact on people? How will, you know, will they feel the same way about it that I do? And until I actually get out in the world and see, I don't know. It's been 2020 has been a year, Cyrus, hasn't it?
Yeah.
And let's hope we never have to do it. We've learned a lot from it. Let's hope we never have to do it again. How does that sound?
Right. You know, but I do think it's interesting, though, because you even mentioned going back to the blog post and then making an interesting connection with Interference. Is, you know, you have that great conversation with Bridget and Matt, you know, where they're, you know, they're talking about this offer, and it's very obvious that, you know, people do things for different reasons, right? I mean, you know, you have people who, as you said, who just like to write just for the pleasure of it, and then if other people enjoy it, that's great. In the case with Matt and Bridget, of course, we see, you know, what is your place, what is your life, you know, what is your value, and what matters most to you? I mean, is it money? Is it location?
Right.
Or is it just really doing something that you love? And I think that is the thing. And you made it very obvious, and I thought it was interesting in reading that, Brad. That you really enjoy that connection, enjoy the handshake, the hugs, and, you know, having that. I love the fact that you mentioned the part that I hear a lot on this program. Well, this is not really a question, but you know, and then it ends up turning into a lot more. So I want to talk about what that was like for you then, in kind of stepping into Bridget's shoes, because we kind of get her perspective in this book, kind of looking at your year that you're having. What was that like for you to kind of think about how external forces can easily affect us and impact the decisions we make and the what if of what we're willing to do?
Right. Well, of course, I wrote this book before COVID hit. Any potential wisdom that seeped in, that's actually, and this is what I love about the relationship between reading and writing and whatnot, like, that's actually you adding stuff in. And I love that fact, you know, because there's this wonderful thing about this medium, this book thing that I do. Like, you know, when I'm writing a book, I can put in everything I've ever experienced, everyone I've ever met, you know, it's all this wonderful ingredients for the stew that becomes my book. But the book only actually comes alive in one place, right? And that's your head. You as the reader, you know, and you are constructing this thing. So, I mean, really, we're kind of constructing it together. But, you know, and you are bringing everything you've ever experienced and everyone you've ever met. So I might be writing Bridget Bronick, the protagonist of this book, and I might be sort of seeing, my child's third grade teacher, right? But you're seeing your Aunt Dorothy, or, you know, whatever, you know, and I love the way that we sort of create it together. So, you know, in the case, I think you're talking about Matt and Bridget, or, you know, early on in this book, Matt gets this job offer, right? He's going to be paid $1 million a year to do what he does. And, you know, I think there were some misgivings in this part of, was this too good to be true? Is this, you know, should I take this, should I not? But, yeah, they end up talking through, and it does get to the heart of why do you do what you do? And so I might have been revealing a little bit too much about myself, right? What Matt, the physics professor, eventually comes to is he does what he does because he wants to be able to share his knowledge with the world, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's maybe some of the author coming through. Like, I mean, look, we all have these necessities. You know, we need to be able to feed our families a certain amount. We need to be able to, you know, keep a roof over our head. But then beyond that, like, once you've accomplished that, why do you do what you do? And for me, it's absolutely, I love being able to share my stories with the world.
Yeah. And that's what you've been able to do. I referenced earlier, of course, the book is already a bestseller on Amazon. But what also is so interesting about this book that I'm sure is the envy of a lot of your author colleagues and probably some of our audience out there is that some of them, and I hear this a lot on this program over the years, Brad, struggle to get a dozen reviews. You have now, at the time we're having this conversation, over 900,
right.
You know, reviews, you know, and I think it's so interesting. And I have to say, you know, full disclosure, of course, you know, with Amazon, you know, a lot of us get books early because of different programs and that kind of thing. So we're able to read them and, you know, throw that in the faces of our friends. You know, hey, I've already read that book. You're just not getting it. But so what is that like for you? I know you're not able to be out there physically meeting us, but what
is
it like for you to be hearing from your readers already about their thoughts about the book?
Well, so it's been a wild ride, and it's actually it has somewhat filled the hole of not being able to have that in-person communication. Like, so, for example, there's a character in this book, Emmett Webster. He is a New Hampshire State Police detective who, when Bridget's husband is kidnapped, he is assigned the case, right? And the other thing about Emmett Webster that's really salient is he's just lost his wife, right? This was how Emmett Webster sort of came to life for me as a character. Like, I could just imagine this man, he's in his mid-50s, you know, a relatively young age, an age where you're not necessarily thinking about losing a spouse. And suddenly, you know, there she is, she's gone. And how does he deal with that while trying to continue with his life, right? So, you know, kind of a nuanced character, a character I definitely, you know, got into a lot. Well, one of those aforementioned 900 and whatever Amazon reviews was written by a man who had just lost his wife. And he talked about how being able to read about Emmett and Emmett's experience kind of reminded him of his own and made him feel maybe a little less alone in this world with what he was going through. And when you read a review like that and you feel like, God, my book really touched someone, that's why I do what I do. I mean, that's it right there. So as much as I would have loved to have that man come to a book signing I had done in New Hampshire somewhere, you know, like to read that review, it filled something in my heart.
Good. Well, good. I mean, hey, we'll take what we can get, right? I mean, it's
right.
And like you said, you know, even in your article, hey, there's always 2021. And
yes.
I think that is the thing. So I have to ask you this question, then we're going to remind our audience how they can be able to get the book. As far as surprises go, because I think it's an interesting thing as you're kind of talking about, and I alluded to it at the beginning. I'm also very, very careful, Brad, and, you know, I want to make sure I don't spoil anything for anyone who's just now discovering the book, because we want them to read it and enjoy it. But I think, you know, there are some surprises that come along the way. I think even in the growth of Bridget, what did you experience that too, that you saw her kind of grow into herself and not just be the wife of, but really being her own person and embracing that?
Yeah, and, you know, that's really one of the fun things about the writing process for me, Cyrus. I don't plot this stuff out ahead of time. You know, I feel like I put a certain amount of work in, you know, before I start, of understanding who the characters are and understanding what motivates them and whatnot. But then I'm kind of like putting them in the world and seeing what happens. And sometimes they really surprise me. And I love that when they surprise me. I think that adds a lot of energy to my own writing. I have a belief that readers love to be wrong, right? They love to think one thing about a character and then discover something completely different. That's one of the really enjoyable aspects of reading. So I kind of want to give them that pleasure every time they can. And in Bridget, I think she really found some gumption she didn't know she had, you know, throughout the course of the novel. And that's also a rewarding thing when you feel like you've been on a journey with someone and you've seen them grow. So, you know, we ultimately both, I write these things and you read them for that enjoyment, for, you know, seeing that human experience. And so I'm glad you picked that up, because that was definitely something that I enjoyed about Bridget too, kind of watching her grow and learn and thrive.
Well, I will say, I mean, she definitely was not, by the end of the book, was not the same as the person that we get to kind of get in her head in the beginning. And I thought that is part of the fun, because we all are kind of evolving. And I think it brings some of that realism to me, to the story, that, I mean, I think, again, that brings also to the front the importance of that connection that we all want to be able to have. Again, everyone, bestselling author Brad Parks has been our guest. We've been talking with him about the literary experience that he's been a part of, and also parts of his his new book called Interference, as you've heard us mention here, already an Amazon bestseller. You guys can get it there or, of course, through your favorite local bookstore. If they don't have it, they'd be more than happy to order it for you. And, Brad, I mentioned your author profile on Amazon, but how else can our audience stay connected with you?
Well, so there's always good old Facebook. I'm www.facebook.com/BradParksBooks. There is Twitter. I'm Brad_Parks. There's my website, www.bradparksbooks.com, or they can always just drop me an email. I'm brad@bradparksbooks.com. And I think that'll cover it, right? Is that enough ways? I do love to hear from readers, you know, to especially now when I'm just locked in my house. I can't go anywhere. You know, I can't get out and see people. I love to get that to get that feedback, to know that that something I've written has touched people.
Yeah, and I think that is so cool that we're able to do that. Brad, congratulations to you again. Thank you so much for the time, and looking forward to having you back on the program again.
Yeah, hey, Cyrus, thanks so much for having me on. It was a real pleasure.
Well, the pleasure is definitely all mine, and we thank your audience for tuning in to another great segment of Conversations Live. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live. Let's make it a great one.